Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games, of an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have Talkcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us from the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for quality 17702 and use the Chrome browser. Yes, it's annoying, but that seems to be what they're optimized for, and that's what they actually will work with. Also, if you want to, we do co-stream it on YouTube Live. And if you want to find the stream, the URL of the week, just go to either the Twitter accounts. Those are SFU On Call, Paul Franz, and Franz Games. That's in the Franz Games is spelled FRNZGAMES. Paul Franz is PAULFRNZ. Also, if you want to reach me via email, my email address is SFUOnCall@gmail.com. That's SFUONCALL@gmail.com. That's multiple ways of contacting me. And of course, I do my best to include both the YouTube live chat room and also the talk show. Now, obviously, most of the chat actually occurs on talk show at the moment. This might change in the future. I'm not sure. At the moment, it seems to be good, but every once in a while, we have those issues. Moving forward, some quick news from ADB this week. As Steve Cole started getting back to work with more hours. And also shift to solid food after his surgery and gaining much strength. He worked on Caps Log number 53, which reminds me I probably have to do my part on Caps Log number 53. Also, the Gorn Master Starship book, Shapeways, and other projects. Of course, Steve Petrick's been busily working on the SCP updates and also the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene, on the other hand, has been working on making sure Facebook stays, you know, up to date and people can talk to Gene that way. Also, she uploaded many ships to Shapeways. She had little troubles this past week from looks from her Facebook feed. If you want to follow Gene, you know, she so the trials and tribulations of doing multiple things from Shapeways to editing the updated Prime Directive. For the GURPS Prime Directive, yes. And also, of course, managing the Twitter feed and making sure the spam stays away from the BBS. Moving onward to the SFB Online tournament. Of course, we had the Master Tournament, not Master Starship Book. Unfortunately, no progress for this week. And same thing for RAT 48. Been run by Ron Brynmeyer. No progress there. I think I'm going to need to beat on people to find out what's going on with that. Send out emails and remind them that, hey, we still have a tournament going on. If you're, say, in or out, please tell me. No work has actually been done with the SFU Online client this week. Though I might work on a little bit this upcoming week because I did some looking for a chess timer. And if you want to know about why I'm even looking at that, listen to last week's episode and you'll know why. Moving onward to the library report, no progress, unfortunately, though, you know, I had done those 10 last week and those still stay hold. And, of course, a percent complete is up to 73.5%. With the complete conversion being 2,444. So that's still quite a few. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, one of the only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's just me. Dave had someplace to be, and that's fine. And Russ is not here yet. And Barry is probably driving around. But in any case, I'm going to mention this real quick. Additional topic, that's for you. And that is I mentioned in the news portion that I might be looking into doing a chess timer clock for SFB Online. Originally, I was hoping, beyond all hope, that there's actually an online chess clock. So far, maybe my Google Foo is just not strong enough, which is possible, but I've yet to find what I'm looking for, which is I'm looking for a timer which works over the internet. Not that it, the thing is, most chess clocks are designed for in-persons. And I've actually found a couple of those chess clocks. They have a website where you actually click on a button for that and have so it works like a regular chess clock that's local to you, but nothing where you can play it over the internet. And I can understand that because of what I'm looking for is something which is basically, if you're playing chess, it would be built into the chess client that you play over the internet. If in playing any other game and you have a kind of chess clock, quote unquote, it will be part of the game. And I can understand that. Which is my guess is why I'm having a hard time finding a standalone online over the internet version of a chess clock. So that's something I might work on this week. So I have to wait and see if I have time enough. The difficult part about this week is that Monday is sorry, I paused there because Russ is actually in the chat room. He's just going to be listening because he's at work. That's fine. But anyhow, to the whole idea of get the chess clock working, because I think that'd be a great idea to add on to the online client. So I just want to give people, and the only reason I might not have time this week is because of the first week of the month is always very busy because I have like two different meetings that I have to attend. Actually, three of them I have to attend. One on Saturday, one on Sunday, and one on Monday night. Monday night will be my archery club, in which case after that I will be getting all kinds of memberships, hopefully, and not hopefully, when it comes to renewals of membership. So hopefully we'll get those all done. It reminds me, I still got to reply to a person who him and his wife wanted to add their membership. But anyhow, sorry about the quick sidetrack to something other than SB Online, but or Starfleet, SUV on call related. So what we're going to start off with tonight, actually, I wanted to talk about tactics of LDR versus Hydran. Because that's what I think my next game will be. I need to double check to make sure that Roger actually will be available to play and actually he's going to be available. You know, he's actually going to be still part of the tournament because he seems kind of confused that he was part of the tournament to begin with. But okay, because what was it? The other his opponent conceded without playing, which is fortunately this is not a rated ace tournament, in which case. If a person concedes to the other person without playing them, that's fine. It has no standing when it comes to rated A status. As a tournament that's a tournament that keeps rated A status. Okay. I'm having a hard time expressing that. Sorry. But so what we're going to do is we're going to start with tactics for that. And then I'm hoping is if I have time, which I probably should have time, is I want to review some of the tactics for the Romulan termed Firehawk that both I use and some suggestions in the future because it was actually quite an interesting battle. And as I mentioned, I think my opponent, I think, made some serious tactical mistakes. Though also, I got real lucky in that game when it comes to... the one thing which is I got rid of his ESCs quick, very early on. And part of that, of course, is luck because of, that kind of thing does happen. That was interesting. But anyway, so you know, we're going to talk about the LDR, and we'll talk about, you know, what's when it comes, because I'm going to be playing in the LDR, and I'm going to be fighting against the Hydran, and in my mind, this is going to be a very difficult game, because of one of the big things when it comes to the LDR is that it's got a very small ship compared to the Hydran. Now, and of course, what's the bad thing about the ESGs? Well, the ESGs automatically hit for the Hellbores. Now, that's a good thing. That's a bad thing. Good thing, one good aspect of ESGs is that when it comes to ESGs, when it comes to Hellbore interaction with ESGs, is that ESGs will absorb the damage from the Hydran, from the Hellbore. So that even though it's auto hit, means it can't miss. It's like it's a magnet. It also means that the amount of damage that the Hellbores can do will be completely absorbed by the ESGs. Now here's the difficult part. Timing is critical when it comes to this matchup, and the LDR being able to protect itself using the ESGs. Because what is it that's going to happen? You're going to want to bring up the ESGs, at least one of them, to absorb the damage from the Hellbore. Now the problem, here's the problem. That is because of, if you want to use both ESGs, that's, you know, it's all or one approach. And also remember, that's going to take 10 points of power. 10 points of power, that's a whole lot of power. The first time you use it, it's basically free. Because it's going off the capacitors, off the ESGs. The ESGs capacitor are fully loaded when you start the game. So you're fine. But the thing is, if you use both of them, then you're going to want to recharge them, both of them. The big issue there, obviously, is that when you bring up the ESG, what's the Hydra going to do? The Hydra's going to sit there and go, okay, I'm not going to fire my Hellbores, because what's the point? The only point would be is if the Hydran gets close and you only have one ESG up and it fires like both Hellbores are going to hit automatically. So you have the one that takes takes down a good portion of the ESG, and then the second one hits your shields directly. No, there's no rolling of die here. So, in that case, the Hydran kind of wins overall. Now, here's always the difficult part about the Hydran, and I've experienced this with other ships because of what is the biggest issue. One of those issues that the Liren in general has. Liren in general, and just like the Liren and the LDR, same issue because they're basically the same ship overall when it comes to weapons. All except for the LDR has the Phaser Gs. Okay, those are great for close-in attacks. Now, here's the thing. Hydran, you don't want to get close in. Why? Because of the fusions. Those fusions will beat the crap out of you. And you don't have that big of a ship to begin with. As in my mind, the LDR versus held Hydran, I am on the my percentage chance of winning is around a 30% chance, is the way I figure it. Because of, here's the two issues, obviously, with Hydran, the one I've already mentioned, which was the Hellbores. And they're automatically hitting the ESGs. And therefore, the LDR is going to want to use the ESGs to protect itself So it keeps shield ups more using the ESGs, of course, than the automatically hit, which in my mind is not that big of a deal for the most part, because inevitably, even if the Hydran is many, many hexes away, he's not going to fire the Hellbore. He wants to get it nice and close. Because it's not just the Hellbore. Normally, you also want to fire something that, you know, to beat down one shield. Well, that's going to require being coming in closer. Now, the second thing that is the problem with the Hydran is that, given that let's get back to Liren and the problems the Lirens have. The Lirens have the same problems that the Saltorians have and the Andromedans have. And in some cases, the Orions. That is, they have no tertiary weapon, really. Yes, they have the ESGs. So people aren't, for the most part, as long as those ESGs are available, you're not going to want to overrun a Liren. Okay, that's fine. But that takes energy. Energy that you might not have, especially with the LDR, because the LDR has a maximum total of, if I recall correctly, it's 38 points of power, because you got the 24 warp. You've got the, I think it's 4 impulse. Jeez, I thought it was 4 impulse in like, 4 APR or something like that. So it might not be even 38. It might be like 36. I have to double check on the other guard itself. But it's got a lot less power than the Hydran. And when it comes to internals don't have that many internals compared to the Hydran. Now, obviously, So. So it doesn't have the. It's not like. Yes, I know the ESG is a tertiary weapon, but it doesn't have a seeking weapon. You know, because it's not that it's a tertiary weapon. It's that it has no seeking weapons. Because the thing is, with seeking weapons give you another target, your opponent another target to fire at. So you can use that for. Using up your opponent's weapons fire, and you can use it also for terrain. You know, the whole idea of if you have a scatter pack, you can actually have a wall if you want. It's rare that the only time I've ever seen a wall when it comes to drones is when it's against an Andromedan, because an Andromedan, the whole idea there is to. You don't want to have it so they're all together and therefore are susceptible to the Andromedan's T-bomb. Also, the King Eagle has the same T-bomb, but for the King Eagle's a little more... It's not flexible, because what happens is that for the King Eagle, the T-bomb has to be dropped out the hatch. That's one thing I would love to have back, which is for the King Eagle, have the full NSM, the nuclear space mine, which is 35 points of damage. I don't think that'll ever happen. Then, of course, there's always the big question, which is, does it really need it? And I can't answer that right now. Because of, I don't, I'm not sure if it needs it or not, because it's got the additional weapons that aren't normal with the King Eagle, the Terminal King Eagle I'm talking about. So I think it also has the additional pseudos, which is something that Plasma Fs have pseudos. So does that make up for the decreasing of the mine? Don't know. Overall, I think most people agree that it's as good as it's going to get. But anyhow, getting back to the tactics and what tactics to use, LDR versus Hydran. And that, so as I mentioned, the LDR has the issue of no tertiary weapon, no seeking weapon. So it can't keep the Hydran at a distance. Heck, of course, you got the biggest issue of them all. It's called the moving nuclear space mines, otherwise called the Hydran fighters. Yes, they only go speed 15, but what invariably happens on a game? At least, if you guys have experienced otherwise, please tell me, because this is the experience I've had. The experience I've had when it comes to this, the experience I've had when it comes to this kind of situation is that you got the Hydran. The Hydran will circle the middle of the board because he doesn't want you to get too far, and you're constantly running away from him. And what happens? He'll come in. He'll be chasing you, but he can launch his fighters early, so the fighters can come up from the other side. Now, obviously, you're going to want to beat the crap out of them, and the Eldegar might have a good chance. The Andromeda does not, because it has the phaser twos and only has six phaser twos. And if you're running around, you have a maximum of four phaser twos facing. So you can't actually, you can kill one of the fighters, but not both. Even crippling, it's no guarantee. Because of max damage is 4 points of damage. At range one? I think it's range one. I think range two, you might actually be able to get the range to 5 points of damage if you roll a zero. I mean, if you roll a one, I mean, there is no rolling zero. Jeez. But anyhow, that's my experience. The question is, how can you avoid doing that? Because of what you want to be able to do is on a battle pass, is you want to be able to have the Hydran fire his weapons so that you can continue, so you can be chasing him. Of course, until you get rid of those fighters, chasing him is not really all that smart. Now, here's one of those things that you can possibly do. Don't use the ESGs for protecting yourself against the Hellbores. Now, don't use them completely for protecting yourself against the fighters. Now, because you can give it out to range three. And that's so you basically ram the fighters. So the fighters never get to that beautiful range three. It's not until it gets range three that the fusions are worth firing, basically. So you can do that so that if you can get rid of the fighters, you're in much better shape, because then it's just two ships flying around each other. Now, the tough part about, you don't want to do a knife fight with a Hydran just because of, here's the thing. Hydrans suffer from the Mizzy attack greatly. They suffer greatly when it comes to the Mizzy attack because of, they've got this one large section of center hull. And the weapons are really bad for Mizzy. Why is that? You got phaser Gs, you got phaser ones, you got fusion, you got hellbores. That means you hit all three categories. You hit drones, you got torpedoes, you got phasers. So, in theory, if you got two sets of internals, you got to get enough, let's say 10 apiece. You can, in theory, have it so he's down to one down to two fusion beams, and say most of his phasers, but his hellbores will be gone. Because, and once the hellbores are gone, they're gone. They take 25 points to repair the hellbores. This is nuts. It's just like, if you ever lose the ESGs on a Lyran LDR ship, they're gone. You don't ever try to repair them. They'll take way too long, and there's better better systems to repair than the ESGs. So, when you actually use the ESGs for protecting yourself against the fighters, the great thing, here's the good thing. The Hydrant player might be, I was going to say loath, but that's not, he's going to be more cautious about launching his fighters. Because launching the fighters, in that case, what you want to do is you want your ship to come in first. So he has to keep the fighters and the Hydrant ship together. In this scenario, because of if you put up your ESGs, he wants his ship to hit the ESGs and possibly if he can go through the ESGs and tractor you, bring the fighters in, have a nice range zero attack, and you're toast at that point. Just give up at that point. Obviously you're going to use your phasers and any disruptors that you have available to fight off the fighters and possibly fight off the Hydrant if you can get through the shield, and then Mizzia, using Mizzia attack, multiple small internals, so that you can knock out the tractor beams. Which I think would be an excellent thing to do. Because, as I said, the big issue that the Hydrants have is Mizzia attacks. They're really vulnerable to the degree that Paul Scott himself, he said, because Paul Scott is a multi-rated ace. He hasn't played SCP for a while, but back in the day, we're getting to that point, huh? Back in the day, when I was younger, get off my lawn. But he said, I can win the Radiace, I can win the Gold Hat in any ship. So he decided, I'm going to do it in the Hydrant. And what happened? He got knocked out twice. That's the second time. That's it. You can't win in the Hydrant. You cannot win the Gold Hat in the Hydrant ship. Or consistently. Because if you have quality opponents facing you and they start missing, and you lose too many weapons too quickly. And so at that point, what he did after he was knocked out twice in a row, he then switched to be the ISC, to use the ISC, which is a decent ship to be fighting in, because in the ISC, you've got the four plasma torpedoes, and you got the PPD. So overall, it's got those phaser threes and the phaser ones, so it's got a good array. And of course, since it's got plasma, it's got seeking weapons. Plasma seeking weapons. So it can keep opponents away, and use it as terrain, or just use it for soaking up weapon fire. Therefore, using up your opponent's energy and also the opportunity to fire at you instead of firing at your seeking weapons. So Hydrants can be defeated, which is what I, as LDR, I'm going to need to do, is I need to find a way to get it down shield and be able to beat on it. And that's always, for any ship. When you're facing, you have a one-on-one, that's the hardest thing to do, which is to get that down shield or multiple down shields and make sure that you can get around to that down shield again, because your opponent's going to try to protect that shield. Now, when you are flying the Hydran and you're against your opponent, here's one thing that has been noticed by some other people, which is sometimes people who play a ship that has Hellbores on it, it could be either the Hydran or the Orion or the Auxiliary Battlecruiser in tournament play. And inevitably, they get lazy. Now, when it comes to wind Auxiliary Battlecruiser, that I think it has a good right to be a tiny bit lazy just because of its turn mode sucks real bad. Since it's an Auxiliary Battlecruiser, if you slow down, it's really hard to speed up again. So inevitably, their turn mode is going to be worse than most other ships because you have to go fast to keep going fast. So, that's always. But as again, it's just that the players tend to be lazy because of, oh, I got the Hellbore, I can reach around and hit it instead of saying, okay, yeah, I've got that, but let's still try to get that down shield, because with a down shield you can fire phasers, you can fire fusions, you can even do a hit and run raid. So as a Hydra player, you gotta make sure you don't end up being lazy about that situation. So what do I think is the best tactics that LDR should use against the Hydran? I think the best thing is I was going to say that I think the best thing might be to ram the Hydran with your ESGs and then get a down shield and beat them to death. The problem is that means getting close, and Hydrans, that's what they want to do. They want you to get nice and close and comfy, and then they'll beat the crap out of you. I'm not sure if that's such a good idea. Is there anything else? And of course, then there is, even if he wants you to get close, fine. He'll fire his Hellbore at you. In which case, when he fires his Hellbore at you, your ESGs go down. There goes your whole tactic of ramming him and getting that down punch through that down shield early enough. Obviously, if you can get a down shield for the Hydran for the front shield, you are golden. Because Hydran without a shield number one makes it really difficult, because of you have, when it comes to the fusions, you got left front, right front. So the only time all four of the fusions are able to fire at the same time is when the center line. That's the only time you can ever have it happen. So in theory, you can fire out, the shield number 2 and 6, but this more difficult. This makes it more difficult. Lord knows, I was shocked. I was shocked that I actually beat the LDR with the Ramen and Firehawk. So, I guess, LDR is probably the best thing to do. Is don't get too close. You know, fire like range 5. Try to beat on a shield. I'd bring up 1 ESG is what I would do to protect on the first battle pass. 1 ESG just to protect you against the Hydran. And then leave the second ESG for fighter defense. So that if the Hydran decides to separate his fighters from his ship as he chases you, that you have a way of destroying the fighters. Especially because if the Hydran decides to separate the fighters from the ship, of course, then there's the whole threat of just announcing it and then canceling your ESGs. You can do that. And this, it's basically a whole bluffing maneuver, which in theory, some people, it's not truly metagaming because of course we have the whole issue in S&P, the whole idea of metagaming, the whole idea is of the whole psychological game, but in some cases it's a valid, way of playing, i.e., that's the whole idea of pseudoplasmas. That's the whole idea of announcing the ESGs, but then canceling at the very last second. But other things where you basically say, "Oh, I'm going to announce it. Oh, I'm not going to announce," or the call for fire thing, and I'll just note it here because you all know how much I really don't like Call for Fire, just because of it's a way of pre-announcing or possibility of pre-announcing to your opponent that, yes, I am about to fire. So is there anything you want to do beforehand? Now, to be honest, the SLB Online client, it changes that dramatically. In that, with the SAP Online client, even if you select activity and you say, "Okay, call for fire," unless you actually have pre announced something before call for fire, there's no way to go back. Go, yeah, I want now. Oh, now that I know that you're going to be firing, okay, now I'm going to launch something. It's still secret. It's just that when it gets to the call for fire phase, now if you want to fire or you're thinking about firing, now you know, oh, yeah, I probably should fire. Of course, then there's the whole fake out, which is do a call for fire and then say, okay, I'm not firing anything. So it's never guaranteed. Again, when it comes to that aspect of the game, that is tactics and playing against someone. Something of war. Not the rules of war. Something. A Chinese author. I forget the guy's name, and I don't want to malign it. He's a greatly respected Chinese general who wrote up, I think, the Rules of War or something like that. The whole idea being that one of the things he said was know your enemy. And if you know your enemy, then it takes actually a little less guess. It gives you a better idea of what they're going to do, especially when it comes to faking you out, launching pseudoplasma torpedoes. Art of War. Thank you, Russ. Save my butt. The Art of War. And what you helps you give you a better idea when it comes to those, the pseudoplasma torpedoes. Is it going to be launched pseudo? Is it going to be launching a real? When he announces his ESG, is he going to actually use it or not? He calls for fire at range two. Is he actually going to fire, or is he going? Is that a bluff? You know, that kind of thing. Gotta be a, like, as I said, you know, it's like being a poker player. And yes, and Russ said it was Sun Tzu. As he thinks that the name is, and I will take Russ's word at that. And if it is not, I'm sure I will hear about it. Remember, that's sfuoncall@gmail.com. So, you want to tell me that I'm wrong? Please tell me. Moving onward to the second topic for this evening, and that's going to be the Remnant Firehawk and some of the tactics that I used, and of course, some of the tactics that you use when it comes to the Romulan Firehawk are, of course, some of them are Romulan-based, and some of them are just plasma-based, i.e. what a plasma ship should be doing. So, when we start off with, okay, some of the tactics that I used. Some of the tactics I used were the old launching two plasmas, one S, one F. The whole idea of that overall is that people in the past have launched both of those because of the, like, the F will be real, but because you can't have a pseudo F torpedo. At least for a Firehawk, the only time you can is for, as I mentioned earlier, the King Eagle. But the player knows that that's going to be real. And then the S, that's the guessing game. That's when the guessing game occurs. And the whole idea in my mind was to have it so that my opponent, assumed, or at least thought to a great degree, that, oh, yeah, it's a fake. So any phaser fire would mainly be focused on the F, and when the S hit, surprise, it's real. Or you can also, the Fs, you can run out, and then just concentrate on the S just in case it's a real. So I think that's a good tactic to use. Why? Because of people automatically assume that you're going to be launched. If you do that, there's a good possibility that you're launching a pseudo, especially if you're playing against an opponent who does not know you. See, that's the crazy thing that I'm just going to mention it real quick, which is there were some people that wanted, you know, people to write up their battles. And I understand that because of they want to know how people think. But the thing is that, and also people want to analyze the person's tactics and what kind of tactics they use, which doesn't, if I want to be a blank slate to my opponent so he doesn't know what I'm going to do, it's best if I don't. But, you know, but of course, the thing is, in the Masters Tournament, you're always changing ships. So you have to change your tactics. You have to change your approaches because each ship has its own strengths and weaknesses. And that's why I like the Masters Tournament, because of you have to be overall good tactician, or, you know, or inevitably you'll lose. Obviously, there's also the problem of the rock paper scissors problem, which is some ships are stronger than others, just flat out, you know. Like the Fed against the Andromeda, the Fed most probably is going to win that. But then something like the win Great Black Shark versus a Zinni, that's pretty close to 50-50. You know, things like that. But getting back to the Romulan tactics, the thing is, okay, so that's a good starting position. Now, and therefore holding back the envelopers until later in the game. Now, in my game, I never used the envelopers. Why? Because I've ran out of power. Which brings me to that really nasty thing about plasmas and later in the game. And that is, as a plasma player, you want to use those envelopers. Why? Especially if your opponent has no well weasels, which my opponent had none. The biggest issue there is that it costs so much more energy. It costs twice as much of energy. And what happens in the later in the game, inevitably, if you have a good opponent, you don't have as much energy as you had when you started the game. So you're suffering. You want to keep up your speed, but to finish charging your S, and especially if you want it to be an enveloping S, goes from only 4 points to 8 points. That's 4 points more points damage. That's four movements for that turn. That's four phasers that you could be charging. That's at least, you can finish off an F for the additional four. So, this is what always you're always like any other ship in SFP, you're always balancing energy versus which you're gonna be using for energy forward, which is weapons versus movement. So that's why sometimes it's hard to use those variables later. Now, another approach, of course, is using the enveloper. Here's the one thing about using an enveloper. And that is, to start off the game, that's another tactic you could use. Instead of starting with the 20-30 launchings, because that's what I did. I did the first turn, I launched a Plasma F with a Plasma S. Second turn, I did the same thing. I did the other side. And then the third turn, I basically launched nothing at all. And just ran is what I did. But that's another approach you can do. And that is what the Remnants do. That's what any plasma race does, but because you have a three-turn arming cycle. So it makes it really difficult to keep on fighting versus in my case, the LDR, which is disruptors and so forth. So for his ship, he wants to fire every single turn if he can. Obviously, you have issues with power at some point because you can't be firing your phasers because your phasers will be drawing more power, and you want to in some cases to not fire the phasers at all so you can charge them but not fire them, therefore you can go faster the next turn. Let me get back to the enveloper. Starting the game with the enveloper. The one good thing about actually starting the game with the enveloper is that you definitely force your opponent to run. They have no choice. They know it's real. Now, I'll admit it. I've done the stupid thing. Because in theory, your opponent doesn't have to run. But if he doesn't turn and run, they must be real confident that they can get their overloads really close to you and basically pay the penalty of taking all that damage when it comes to developers. Now, here's always to me, as a person who is on the other side of the fence a lot of times, i.e. not flying a plasma player, but another, like a DNT, you know, disruptors and drones ship. And that is that I want to go for it. I want to drive through that enveloper and go and hit him. And of course, invariably, when I've done that, I lose, basically. That's all more reason, all more of an example of why you don't want to do that, why you actually want to run away. But that, again, what that does, it sets you up. If you come in and you launch an enveloper and that forces your opponent to turn away, what do you do? You do what I did, because even with the 2030, you know, the Plasma S and Plasma F torpedoes that I launched, my opponent turned away. What happened when my opponent turned away? I turned back towards him and chased him. Why? Because of what is the goal of a plasma ship? The goal of a plasma ship is to corner your opponent. Now, this can also not work out so well. Actually, it can work out quite well, because here's the thing. Even if your opponent uses the Wild Weasel when you cornered him, because when you cornered him, he's going to have to choose whether he's going to stop and weasel off the plasma, or the other way of going around, of fighting it, is to basically run all around the edge of the screen, edge of the board, which is, as an Andromeda player who's flown against Hydrans, I remember John Stiff. Remember that was an interesting game, because that was when Origins was in Philadelphia. And what I did, I just kept on running around the outside, and I'm flying at these incredible speeds. This is before they slowed down the Andromedans. So I'd be going 30, and he just circles around the middle, you know, and that's what the plasma player wants to do. He wants you to always be running, because you're not. If you're running, you're not facing him. Your weapons are facing away from me, which means you can't fire at me. Now, obviously, that's one good thing about the LDR. When I was playing against it, the LDR has two forward extended disruptors. So he doesn't have. So even when he's quote unquote running away, he can still fire at you, which is something to always keep in mind when it comes to LDRs in the tournament. The LDR ship in the tournament, yeah. So that is your goal. Is to have your opponent run away from your plasma, because that means you're using it at the very least for terrain. A lot of people, I've heard people mentioned as part of a tactics, the whole idea of plasma is not to actually have it land on your opponent, but to use it as terrain against your opponent to force him to move how you want him to move. And then after you get him to that position, then using your direct fire weapons, i.e. your phasers, to beat up on his shields and kill your opponent that way. Now, I like the idea. Now, obviously, I think every one of us here would love... Every one of us here would love to have all of our, if you fly a drone D&D ship, or you fire a plasma ship, you would love it so that your seeking weapons landed, because they do so much damage, and then your opponent dies really quick. But obviously, your opponent is trying to do the opposite. He's trying to live and trying to win. So... you can't rely on your plasmas actually landing. Now, as I said, I was fortunate in my game in that I think my opponent made some real tactical errors, including, but not limited to, firing his weapons at a longer range than he really needed to do. That's one thing. Two, he turned back in when he really should not have. Three, he didn't have any wild weasels charged. Because let's go back to the whole idea of fighting against a plasma ship without using wild weasels. This is not actually a new idea to me. Because of anybody who's actually flown against me, whether they've flown in the mainly the Saltorian is the biggest thing, but if they have seeking weapons, I always have to think about how am I going to fight off these seeking weapons. There's two options I have. One, wild weasels. Two is just rely on my speed alone. And especially when it comes to plasmas, speed, you can rely on that a lot of times because of if you can run it out, it can die without actually firing a single weapon shot. Without using a single phaser versus drones. Drones last for 3 turns and therefore sooner or later you're going to have to shoot it down. But again, both of them, you have to answer the question. How do you plan, if you're ever flying against a seeking weapon ship, Empire, almost said the ugly R word, when it comes to SAP and Lord knows, well, she knows, do you want to use speed or you want to use a wild weasel? Because if you use a wild weasel, you have to plan on stopping. And in SFB, speed is life. So do you want to have to worry about stopping and starting again? Now, obviously, there is some benefits of actually stopping, i.e., you don't have to spend all that energy into movement. What's the bad part? You need to use it. You don't have much choice at that point. You need to use it on reinforcement. Why? Because if you don't, and your opponent decides that he's going to come after you, and he's willing to take the weapons fire and blast through it and hit you. If you don't have a significant amount of reinforcement, then you're gonna get your butt. Basically, it's gonna hurt. So. And to me, that's always one of those things. It comes down to, usually when it comes to choosing whether I'm going to use a wild weasel or not charge the wild weasels, all has to do with the ship that I'm flying against. Like in case of an ISC, that's one of those times I actually would think about using a wild weasel. Flying against a Firehawk, I would debate using a wild weasel or not. When it comes to a Klingon, wild weasel, overall, I wouldn't. I'd be using speed and phasers to knock it all down. And then use like suicide shuttles for a regular ship to fight them all. You can launch them against drones, and if you're desperate, if you ran out of phasers, and of course, then there's phasers. And of course, then there's the ultimate in defense, which is let them hit you. That's the wonderful thing about seeking weapons, is that to a certain degree, you can actually decide, you can actually use your shields as a weapon, as a way of defending yourself, because it's supposed, that's why it's there. I know some people have talked to some SMB players, and one thing that they say is that they don't think they've actually optimally used their ship if they still have a shield box left. I can understand that perspective, because of when you used up all your shield boxes, that means that you've optimized its use, utility, the shield's utility. Which means that you've had more energy, you can fire your weapons more often. You can use that energy instead of for weapons, you could use it for speed. Or of course, they've used it for speed, and you can use it because of using for speed. You can not just define the range of when the seeking weapons hit you, which is a good thing. But also, you can use that speed to catch your opponent, or to define the battle in a greater sense, because of, as the saying goes in SFB, speed is life. And I think most people who ever play Federation Commander will agree that Federation Commander exemplifies that to the greatest degree when it comes to A to B games. And the reason why that is mainly because of you have no advantage for stopping. The only thing you can do when you stop is that you actually can tack. You can do your tack, so you can spin around, so you can keep a good shield toward your opponent. It won't give you any additional reinforcement because of the way FedCom works. I.e., you only can put the amount of power equivalent to your non-disabled batteries. You can use that for reinforcement up to that. So if you have 5 batteries, you're going to have a maximum of 5 points of reinforcement. Yeah, per volley. It's per volley. So makes it much better. For the Ronin Firehawk, invariably, I should get back to one thing that I think is critical to remember whenever you're playing a plasma ship, and Firehawk is one of those, of course. That is that one of the things that you want, there's three things actually you should make sure you focus on repairing. Number one, batteries. If you have a battery dead, repair the batteries. Why? Because of with the batteries, you can use it, even if you don't use them, if you don't do it, you have the ability to do a fast load F. So if it's on the second turn, you still got a threat against your opponent. Your opponent still has to know that you actually could, if you wanted to, you can actually launch a seeking weapon at him. So especially with the Firehawk, because Firehawk, the plasma Fs are LPRP. The plasma Ss are FP. So that that makes it so that even when if someone's chasing you, if you have the LPRP when it comes to the Fs themselves, obviously the problem is the fast load Fs are only available on the Ss, not on the Fs, which makes it a little more difficult because that means you have to get it so that at the very least your opponent is on the S.H.I.E.L.D. line. Because the S.H.I.E.L.D. line, I mean, the FP fire arc is front FP. It's basically its front half is what it is. Goes from the where the S.H.I.E.L.D. number 2 and S.H.I.E.L.D. number 3 meet. It keeps going all the way past the S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1, going around past S.H.I.E.L.D. number 6. And then where S.H.I.E.L.D. number 6 and S.H.I.E.L.D. number 5, those split right there. That's the arc, which is a pretty big arc, which is wonderful. But this is why I like it. When it comes to Plasma, I prefer the KR. The KR, because of in the KR, you've got the LPRP, which means that even when you are running away, you can launch your Plasma S's at your opponent. That's the beauty of that arc. That's why I like it so much. But you can do it with a Firehawk. It's just a little more challenging because of you have to get at the very least on that S.H.I.E.L.D. line. But see, that's the one thing is that your opponent knows, even if he's chasing you on your quote unquote charging turn, that he still has to worry about you launching a plasma torpedo. Especially, you know, it's on that second turn of arming for those plasmas, for the plasma S's. So they have to be willing to run away. Now, obviously, the only reason you would ever do that is either you're going to get internals or you need to force your opponent to turn away or be willing to take the amount of damage. Now, you know, in some cases, I'm sure your opponent would be more than happy to have that Plasma F to hit a good S.H.I.E.L.D. and then they can beat the snot out of you and you no longer have your plasma available to you. So, obviously it depends upon the tactical situation completely. So I think we'll end there. We had a nice long discussion. Had a nice discussion about tactics when it comes to LDR versus Hydran and some things to how approaches to take. And of course, then there's the Romulan Firehawk and some of the tactics when it comes to plasma torpedoes, not just the Firehawk itself, but sometimes some of it applies to generic plasma torpedoes. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.
Recording paused.